Amen. I plan on being in that crowd. Amen. I'd hate to know I had to settle for the other crowd. You know that group he referenced, they are going where the ruler of their kingdom is. Amen. But you know, I don't never read anywhere, history, scripture, anywhere, where anybody that ever made it across that river to heaven. I never read where anybody wanted a refund. Amen. Anybody wanted to come back to what they left behind. You know, and this is a good life. If we left here tonight, we'd say, man, we're living a blessed life. But what Paul said, not even worthy to be compared. Amen. The sufferings of this present time. Amen. Not even worthy to be compared. But there is a count of going to hell, of that desperate cry, I want out. If I can't, you know, I just want water. And if I can't get water, just tell my brothers. Amen. You know what he was simply, you don't want to go there. In other words, I want a refund on the life I live. I'd like to have another shot at this thing, but there's no other shot. Amen. I just want to be a part of the crowd that when that conversation's taking place in the book of Revelation, it said that, you know, they go back and forth about who that crowd is. That's us in that crowd. Said, who are they? Who is this group of people? Evidently, they're acting up. Amen. Evidently, they finally acquired something that they'd pressed a lot of time to try to get to. And the statement is made, these are they that come out of great tribulation. Amen. Hey, some of these folks, is what he's saying is, some of them fought sickness. Some of them fought isolation. Some of those are martyrs you're looking at. It cost them something to get here. They weren't created here. They were created in a fault-filled world, a sin-filled world, but they made it. Amen? Them are us. Amen? That's Georgia for you. Amen? Thank God. But I want to be among that number. Brother Sam Morris back home, he's done went on to be with the Lord. They say he used to say, hell's a real place. Real people go in there. Amen. It ain't a make-believe story that a figment of the imagination. It's real people just like you and I that are going to go there and stay forever in torment. But he didn't leave them with that. He said heaven's a real place. Hey, real people go in there too. Amen. I want to be one of the real ones that are there. If it's been made available that anybody could go there, why aren't we some of them people? Why wouldn't we choose to be among them? If he's going to let folks in, why not be the folks he lets in? Amen. I want to go there. I wouldn't want anything to keep me out of heaven. Amen. And the good part about it is it can't. Paul said, I'm persuaded. There can't nothing separate me from this love. Amen. The love of God. That's what he said in Romans 8. Amen. I want to make it. God bless you tonight. Good to be back. Service tonight. Want the Lord to help us. Appreciate the service last night. Those that dug in the altar and pray. Man, I like watching tears fall. Amen. Some say, well, it's hard for me. I feel like I've gotten weak. That's the best place to be. Amen. That's when you get strong. It's when you get weak. Amen. I appreciate those that prayed. Appreciate the fellowship last night after service. Enjoyed that. Then again today, the fellowship that was done for our family, we're thankful for it. I want the Lord to help us tonight. Sure would like to see some more tears. Sure would like to see some more praise and worship in the Lord. And let's just get in here and give it our best. Amen. Let's go to 2 Kings. The book of 2 Kings. Be a very, very familiar portion of Scripture. Amen. I've read from it numerous times, and what time I didn't take it as the text, maybe added it in. So you may have heard it at times, but this is what I want to try to preach to us tonight. If the Lord would help us. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 5. Amen. We'll just start reading in verse 1. 2 Kings 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria. I want you to listen to what a description is given about him. Was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. Now, before we get to this phrase that everybody's so familiar with, or most everybody, It sounds like the description of a man that there wasn't very many like him around. Amen. He was a powerful, powerful man. He was a leader. People followed him. Great things were done under his leadership. All of this. And all of that description that we read, the whole verse, comes down to five words that puts that whole verse on hold. Amen. Five words puts the whole first verse on pause. But he was a leper. In other words, nothing that was said prior to that comma matters at this stage. Doesn't matter what he'd done up to this point. It doesn't matter how great he was until this point. Everything's put on hold at the comma. Amen? And then the phrase come forth, but he was a leper. Amen? And so the Lord had helped me tonight. This is what I want to preach. And I'm not coming to take us down a hard road. I don't believe in being that kind of preacher. I'm not real fond of the phrase that some use, bust and hide. I don't like that. It sounds a little, I don't like the way it sounds. But I'm not even going to be in that direction. But this is what I would like to preach to us tonight. If it wasn't for that. If it wasn't for that. Amen. If you could take the comma and make it a period and erase everything afterwards, you leave a man like not compared many in Scripture to him. Amen. He becomes a hero. He becomes a great leader. He becomes a lot of things at just the removal of five words. He becomes something that you and I would look at and think, now when you see him, you see something. Amen? But looking at that tonight and thinking about Naaman, that, you know, all the things that have been said about him leading up to where we say, but he was a leper. Amen. Lets us know that to become that mighty man that he was committed to whatever cause it was that he was a part of. You don't just become a great leader. You work at it. You put yourself in a place to be that leader. You want folks to know that you're willing to stand out front and allow them to follow you. He's a captain of the host. Evidently then, his reputation was good because he were chosen to be the man in that position. And so being the host, the captain of the host of the king of Syria, a great man with his master, he held a place in people's eyes. And I've said before about Naaman maybe that probably being him when he would come out into the community, you know, and I when I was a young person, I grew up, I thought Michael Jordan was a special being when I was a little boy. Amen, you know, and most of all the world, if you don't know it, you know, it's worth about $3 or $4 billion. Because a lot of other people thought that. Amen. But that being said, that when they walk out in society, they're looked at like they're larger than life. You know, he got up this morning out of a bed just like you and I did. But when they walk among other people, though they're no more different than you and I are, amen, they're looked at like they're larger than life. And I was a boy, I was like that. When I got older and got into the ministry, I'm going to just be honest with you tonight. I'm not a very prideful person. I've been around some preachers that they weren't prideful, they weren't boastful, but because I knew the impact that they had had. And I knew of the way that God had used them in their lives, that when I'd got around them, it's kind of, I had that same feeling. Like it's almost, they're large. That, you mean that's who that is? That they felt like they were larger than life. Amen. And so it's sometimes we look at these people, and I believe that's the way they looked at Naaman. And whether we believe it or not, there's people that look at you and I in that same kind of way because of a position we hold, because of the group of people that we fellowship with, the group of people that we claim to be our own, that they look at us as being different. They look at us as being a people that's of a different life. And so, you know, we're no different than they are, except we've been to Calvary. Amen. One of my deacons' daddies had a saying a lot of times, understands it. The only difference between us and a lost man, he just hadn't been saved yet. That's the only thing. Amen. He just need to be saved. That's the only problem with that man. And so when we look at this, I thought today, you know, and maybe pondering on this a little bit, that I believe I'm among good people tonight. I didn't come to preach that I was in a place with people that wasn't honorable. I believe there's some honorable people in this house tonight. And I believe that's why I'm feeling go the direction that I'm going tonight. It's not that we're not honorable. It's not that we're not mighty. It's not that we haven't been held in high regard. Amen. But I believe everybody at some part of their life, irregardless of how long we've been a part of the church, irregardless of how long we've held the title that we hold at the church, or how long we've been in ministry, how long we've been in any part of this work for the Lord, at some part of our life, everybody's had a comma come into their story. Amen. And whether you believe it or not, I'm not one much to. Now my wife's back there, so I like to kind of tell it right down the line. Amen. Sometimes I don't like to give in. Well, maybe another time. Amen. I don't like to give in. And she'll tell you that. But the thing, I married a person that's a lot like that also. Amen. When we know we're right. Now, I'll defend it right down to this. I'm not much going to walk away if I know I'm right. I'm not much one that'll say, well, okay, if I'm right, I'll just declare it all the way to the very end. Amen. But with that being said, all of us from one point or another, when we've been doing what God would have us to do. Like I said, I'm not preaching to backsliders tonight. I don't feel like I'm preaching to somebody unless the Lord gets to dealing with you and you are one, then maybe I will be. But what I'm preaching about tonight is the resume is beautiful. Amen. The works that we've done is just what God wanted us to have done. The people that we've impacted are right down the line of where God wants us to impact. But every now and then, there's a comma that comes into the story. Now, I don't think there's no leprous people here tonight. I didn't recognize none coming in. And so I don't think there's any here that be a leper. But that leprosy is what kept Naaman from being able to really fulfill who he really was. Amen. And so, you know, people wanted to follow him where he went. But leprosy kept them from being able to do so. People wanted to hold him above everybody else, but leprosy caused him not to be able to fulfill his position. And so you and I, when I look at this, I think about that all the things he could be, now he can't be because of this one thing that's in his life. Amen. This one hindrance that's come into his life. Now, I'm not going to say that a sin caused it to come in his life. I'm not going to say that a transgression of somewhere, a secret thing is taken place is why he's got leprosy. Maybe it's just something just happens every now and then, and it's common to man that we go through battles and we go through obstacles and we face setbacks in our life. I've never known a person that never went through a battle. Amen. I preached my granddaddy's funeral. I told him he's the greatest man that I had ever known, and before nor after have I ever met another one like him. I've quit taking votes so he wins. He'll be the greatest man that I ever knew. But I do know this, he faced battles in his life. He gave his whole life to the ministry. He gave his whole life to mission work. But I still find, Pastor, in spite of all, he still faced adversity along the way. He was a great man. He was a loving man. He was a compassionate man. But all along, a comma would come to his life. And there would be something that if it wasn't for that, this thing could go further than it had before. Or if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't have to take a pause. Hey, you know what? What's the good thing about having a comma in your life right now? You're right in the middle of a revival. Right in the middle of a place where God can help us with it. Amen? They know better place to be when a comma comes than to be right in the presence of an almighty God. And the good part about Naaman, he's got a lot of authority. He's got a great reputation, but he's got a big, big problem. But somebody's pointing him toward a big, big God. Amen? Letting him know, you got a problem, Naaman, but we know a man that can help you get past the problem. Can I tell you tonight, we've got things that we go through. We ain't come in here tonight with a facade that life is perfect and I don't got anything going on. We know what we're facing. The evangelist may not know, but you know, and God knows. And I want to remind us tonight that there's nothing wrong with having problems. There's nothing wrong with going through storms. That's not an eviction notice from the church. That's not an eviction notice from the family of God. It's just an opportunity to say, I recognize I could be doing this if it wasn't for that. And I could be drawing closer if it wasn't for that. So what about that in our life? Naaman, you could continue being a leader. You can continue being a great warrior. But you can't do any of these things until you deal with this. This leprosy has got you. It's got to be handled. What the Hebrews tell us, the sin and the what? The weight. So sin obviously disqualifies everybody. You, I, if there's sin in our lives, we're automatically disqualified of our own accord. Amen. But God don't disqualify a man for things outside of his control. Now, I'm going to be honest with you now. Man might, but man ain't really the one that's got to choose in here tonight. I'm talking about what qualifies us in God's eyes to make a difference in our church, to make a difference in our family. Listen, I'm not trying to get on the airwaves of Fox News tonight and preach. They wouldn't air it long if I did, probably. Amen. They'd hurry up and get that thing cut off. It'd cause a riot in this country if one of us got on there and got to preaching how we feel like our nation needs God. But what I am saying tonight, we may never make it to Fox News, and hopefully we don't ever get to CNN News. Amen. But we might make it to the gas station down the road, and we might make it at the family reunion across town. Can I tell you, you might not make an impact on a national level, but you could impact your family, and you could impact your children, and you could impact your church if it wasn't for that. Now, I want to keep saying this. I'm not talking about a hidden sin. You already know you're out of the picture if you got hidden sin. There's a whole other message for that one. But Naaman wants to be a part. He's not trying to be excommunicated. He's not trying to be cut out of the work. And there's folks here tonight, I believe, if I could take a poll and our hearts were the one that had to do the writing of the answer, there'd be a many of a people that'd say, man, if I wasn't battling what I'm battling, I'd be, my praise would be so much greater. My prayer life would be so much greater. Everything that I do, I feel like I could do so much more. But I got something that keeps hanging on to me. I got something that keeps worrying me. And that's where Naaman was at. I want to be the captain of the host. I want to be a mighty man. I want people to follow me to the battlefield. I want to keep winning great victories for my nation, but I can't because of that. And so we know as this begins to unfold that there was that little maiden said she waited on Naaman's wife, and she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. In other words, ma'am, now that everybody's gone, I didn't want to make a scene, but I know where Mr. Naaman could get fixed. She's that little maid. She's just a little helper around the house, but little is much. The old song said, when God is in it. Amen. You don't think to me he can't use just these children. He used that little girl that probably wasn't nothing more than a good sweeper, a good house organizer. But she become an evangelist that day. Amen. Because God needed Naaman to know there's a place where these problems can be fixed. Amen. Listen, I might not be in the top 10 preachers in America. I don't want to be the top 10. They live under too much scrutiny. Amen. I do want to be a voice soul. It can let the world know there is a man. Amen. There is an answer to the problem. There is somebody that can make a difference in your life. I might not can break down the Greek and Hebrew to you this way, but I can tell you there's somewhere you can go. I can tell you there's somebody you can get a hold of that'll get a hold of you and make a difference in your life. And she said, listen, ma'am, I don't want to get out of the way in my own words, and I don't want to make a big scene, but I know there's somewhere where there's people's lives that are being changed and their directions are being fixed. Amen. And if he'd go down there, he would recover him. Amen. And you don't go two verses later, it said, and he departed. In other words, he don't know if he's going to get healed or not. But just the thought that he might. I'm talking about a mighty man, a valiant man, a warrior, a man that nation had deemed we need him to be a part of what we're doing. But Brother Shane, at the words of a little girl, that mighty man melted at the thought, this may be my chance to break free. This may be my opportunity to get what I've been wanting. You know why? I believe this. Now, if you don't want to go past it, you don't have to go past it. If you don't want to live in the freedom of God's will, you don't have to live in it. But I believe what that very act lets me know, Naaman wants to go to the battlefield. Naaman wants to be the captain of the host. Naaman wants to fulfill the duties that he's got in his life. I believe there are those among us tonight, you want to raise your hands and feel freedom. You want to kneel in that altar with freedom in your prayer. But every time we come to this point of our experience, every time the evangelist comes, every time revival starts up, every time my knees hit the floor or my hands go into the air, I hear those words, but he has got a problem. But she has a problem. Maybe it's a problem with me and having peace of mind. Maybe it's a problem of worrying. Maybe it's the fear of what tomorrow may hold. Maybe it's the fear of the call of God. But whatever it is, there's always something that every time we think, I'm about to get a breakthrough. Oh yeah, but there's that. I'm about to get what I've been seeking God for, but there's that. But Naaman made up his mind, I'm going to see if this can really happen. You know why a lot of times when we got problems, we keep coming to church? Because in the backside of our mind and heart, it's the thought, I know I'm struggling. I know I've got a battle on my hands. I know the weight of the world's on my shoulder. But I wonder if tonight I might could get a breakthrough. I wonder if tonight I might could feel a little victory in my heart. And so you know what we do? We get up and come back again. One side of our mind saying, I hope I get free tonight. The other side saying, but I'm a leper. But I'm a leper. I raise my hands hoping for a breakthrough. But on the back side of my mind, it's almost an empty praise. Why? Because I still fear the thought, but I'm a leper. I want to. I'm trying to. But I can't. Amen. So he gets there, got him a trunk of money, got an entourage. He's fixing to go buy his healing. Gets there, knocks on the door. He's there to see the man. And he gets the helper too. And so he's there, and Elisha don't even respond as if it means anything to him. And this was my thought. I dwelt on this, of how God is so amazing that at the same time he's accomplishing his will, he's killing my will. Simultaneously, as God fulfills his own will, he's killing mine and your will. Amen. So that the miracle can happen. Amen. Miracles can't be bought. Miracles can't be bargained for. Miracles can only be hoped for and received because of an almighty God that has power to do all things. Amen. And so what Naaman was doing, he was trying to take his position and trade it for a miracle. He was trying to take his reputation and let didn't know that that was grounds worthy of a miracle. But what Elisha was letting him know, who you are ain't even worthy for me to even come to the door. Who you are ain't even worthy for me to come out and even acknowledge that you exist. So what happens right off the bat? He finds out my reputation holds no value. Who I am in everybody else's eyes holds no value. You know that's the quickest way to get to where God wants you and I to be. It's where Jesus was at in the garden. Amen. If it be thy will, let this come. You know I am your only begotten son. You know I am the one that opened the blinded eyes and raised the dead. Amen. But he was left with the prayer, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And I said it already and I'll say it again. If the Son of God had to sacrifice his will for the will of the Father, then who are you and I? Amen. To think that God would owe me peace of mind, or that God would owe me a healing in my body. He owes me nothing. When he gave me salvation, he gave me all he would ever have to offer me. But I do believe this: when I come looking for it, I can have it. When I come seeking for it, I can find it. When I come knocking, he'll open it up to me. But I gotta be willing to do it his way. Yes. Amen. And so he's there. Simple as this, sir. My master says, in my own word, my master says, if you'll go to the Jordan and you'll dip, your skin will be like new skin. Now, y'all, that's just knowing me. Now, I know I'm from, we live in Hickville. But just this is my thinking. We got a big river not far from our home, the Okmulgee River. It's muddy more than it ain't. Amen. But just in my thought, if I was dying, I wouldn't even have hesitated to jump in that water. So he'd never asked me to jump in that water. The one thing I would do, he didn't ask me to do it. But there may be some things that I say I wouldn't. You know, it's the worst thing you could ever do to your mom and daddy. I'm not going to do that. Oh, yeah, you are. Sure are. And now. I'm a parent too. When that about the moments I'm not doing it, though. Yeah, you are. We might go right back to how we were before, but we're gonna do that just because we said we're not. That's what mom and daddy's doing. You know what? That teaches children early on. This world wouldn't form around you. Amen. But sometimes we have to be to that place even with God. God, some people say, I'm not gonna testify in front of everybody. Oh, yeah, you are. And I preached this the other day back home at my home church meeting. You may have to. Naaman said, I'm not getting in that water. I don't mind dipping. I don't mind getting in water. But I'm not getting in that water. But Pastor, the Lord was trying to show Naaman, there has to be a place in a man or woman's life when they decide what matters most. Keeping how I feel about myself in check, or just throwing all to the wind and saying, thy will be done. Worried about, you know, some people say, I wouldn't run down the middle aisle of the church if they was giving away money at the front table. Amen. You're not sick enough yet. You're not downcast enough yet. You're not worried enough about what's going in your life yet. Amen. You know, that woman with that issue of blood could have said, I'm shying backward. I'm not going to move in a crowd. Oh, yes, you are. It's just going to be when you get to the point that nothing else matters anymore. Hey, I've come to the place I've recognized it don't much matter if people like how worse worship the Lord or not. It doesn't much matter if people like how I cry when I feel God or not. I'm the one feeling him, so it don't matter. It's working. It's getting me in contact with it. I just think I'll just keep doing what works. Amen. They look at us and they think, I'm not going to jump up and down during the choir saying, I'd rather just sit with my arms folded and nearly fall asleep. That's why I don't know how in the world they can even go to church, that group of people. If I couldn't scream out hallelujah every now and then, if I couldn't stand up when I was enjoying a song every now. What in the world kind of church would that be for me? Lord, if I couldn't be Pentecostal, it'd be like a straitjacket. I'd have to put my hand under the bench and just say hallelujah. Oh, just sometimes I just don't know what that does for me. That looks simple to the world. That looks foolish to the world. But y'all, every now and then, that's what gets my hand in His hand. Every now and then, that's what gets me where He wants me to be. Amen. They don't understand. Back home, you know, from time to time, one of those older saints of God, I'll just slip out during the special singing, just walk to the front of the church and back to their seat. That looks foolish to the world. But when they get back to their seat and you look, and them crocodile tears are running down their face, it isn't foolish anymore. That got them where God wanted them to be. That got them to a place where God could move on their knee. A lot of people said, I wouldn't get up for nothing and move. But man, if it'll get you where you need to be with God, it'll help you get past your battle with your problem. If it'll help you get free from that thing that's holding you bound. Hey, I'm not saying get up and tell the church what you're going through. I'm talking about get up and let God know, this is how bad I want freedom. This is how bad I want to live. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about breaking away from that thing that's holding us back. Most of the time, it's that guy or girl that looks at you every morning when you walk up to that sink. It ain't pastor that's holding me back. Now, you sometimes could tell the story and use him as your reason. It's easier to put it on somebody else. But more times than not, my biggest issue is that 140-pound preacher that I look at every morning when I walk in my bathroom. And that's on a heavy day. It ain't my brother. The old song said, it ain't my brother or my sister. But it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need. And Naaman had to come down to that. You know, even his servants, and I'm not the best at quoting, and I'm trying to hurry. Amen. But even his servants said, you know, if he'd asked you to do some great thing, you'd have done it. And Naaman, even, I believe, even in that argument, he said, I don't have a problem dipping. But man, there's some clean water out here to get in. Amen. Clean water ain't going to wash his pride away. Amen. Clean water ain't going to bring him down to level ground. But that more muddy Jordan River will. Amen. And you say a lot of time, but that's not necessary. Amen. And I've even thought to myself, it's not the act that he was doing that was really making the difference. It's action. It's doing what God wants me to do. Hey, rolling in the floor for one man will do the same thing that praising the Lord will do for another. But God knows which one fits every person. Amen. And what he really is doing a lot of times, he's getting me out of the way. To do what he wants to do. Some people get filled with the baptism by just laying in the floor saying, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. And about that time, the Holy Ghost goes to talking for them. Some people have to run around the church a couple of times and they get the same outcome. What is that? Different methods that God knows will work for every individual. It isn't a cookie cutter lie. Everybody's different and everybody has to be dealt with. Just be glad that God sees you important enough that he would specialize in what it takes to get you where he wants you to be. He's not going to make me do the things that Brother Shane has to do. Now, we all got to live by the Bible. I'm not saying that. Everybody's held accountable to the Word of God. But every now and then, I'll have folks that's happened in my church before. I had an elder man that was bad, had something wrong down in his neck. Something was wrong. He had a lot of pain and a lot of problem. And so we're having a service one day. The Lord's a moving among the people. And about that time, my song leader just goes about through the church walking, comes up behind that elder gentleman in my church, just puts his hands on him for just a few moments and goes on about his business. Now, I'm not the one that it happened to, but that elder man testified not probably 2 weeks ago that from that moment, now you say something I read in a book, I was in the building, from that moment, he never had another pain in that area since. Why? Because God told a man, walk around this church, just put your hand on him, and then get on about your business. Get on down the line and let me do what I'm wanting to do for him. Amen. If that one man
hadn't walked around that building. Now, the way I believe a lot of times, God may have dealt with another man, but that's who he wanted to do it. Now, it wasn't very comfortable. I got to do it in front of everybody. I got to go do this with everybody watching. Yes, you do. Amen. But you know what happened? The blessing was manifold. Not only did a neck get touched, but an obedient servant was blessed as well when that man went to it. What am I saying tonight? Naaman, when you come out of that Jordan River, you're not the only one going to be encouraged. You're not the only one that's going to have victory. Everybody that's standing on the banks of that river is going to see a miracle. Everybody that's watching you is going to see you submit. And you know what? That's going to make them wonder. I wonder what I could do to get help. I wonder what I could do to get delivered. You say tonight, but man, I've been around this place a long time. I wouldn't want nobody to think bad of me. No, no. It ain't what they're going to think bad about you. It's what it's going to spark in their life to wonder, man, if he can get a breakthrough like that, I wonder what God could do in my life. It's never isolated to a man. No, no. 120 people took a chance on God and went to Jerusalem and tarried about 10 days or so. This world ain't never got over that meeting. I said, this world had never got over that meeting. There's been policies put in place all over this planet. They tried to burn them at the stake. They tried to hang them on a cross. They even, what they say, history possibly says, Peter crucified upside down. Wasn't worthy to be crucified like. You know what they were doing? They were trying to put out a fire that 120 people took him at his word and said, we don't know. I know I'm scared to go back. I'm worried that they might do us like they done Jesus, but I'll just take him at his word. I'll go to Jerusalem because it said to. Amen. And tonight I feel what ran down the streets of Jerusalem running up and down my backbone. Why? Because they obeyed the voice of God. Amen. I wonder tonight. I'm getting ready to close, but I wonder tonight, could I challenge you? Just do what God deals with you to do. Live for him the way he says to live for him. Be willing to do whatever it is he bids our hearts to and watch the outcome. When the will of God is accomplished, somebody wants to come. I'm getting ready to stop. Bartimaeus, you got to quieten down, man. Something's telling me that this may start something bigger in my life than I've ever experienced before. Amen. You know, a lot of times the ones that don't think Bartimaeus needs to be crying out loud, they can all see. I said, they can all see in that place that day. The people telling him to be quiet, they can see. Amen. Don't ever base what you do for God off of somebody else's opinion. Amen. They might not have had any trouble going to sleep last night like you did. They may not have struggled getting out of the bed this morning like you did. They may not be worrying about the same things you're worrying about. So don't base your worship off of their opinion. And don't base your desire off of what they think you need to do. You base it off of what he deals with your heart about. If he says roll, roll. If he tells you to do a backflip, do a backflip. Or if he just says, just praise your hands and tell me that you love him. If he does, raise your hand and tell him that you love him tonight. Peter, go to water, son. Go get your tax money. No, I ain't gonna make a fool of myself, Lord. That's what our thoughts are. Well, yeah, come on, Lord. This is a little more realistic. You got power. Just hand me a coin. You go get it. You go get it out of that fish. It'll be there. You know what he was telling Peter? You do it my way, and I'll make your way. Amen. You do what I ask you to do, son, and I'll always make it possible what needs to happen in your life. These minds in this house tonight, it's got all kind of things going on. Overwhelmed. That ain't prophecy. That's common to man. The hour we live in, everybody. Our minds sometimes, I've said it before, sometimes don't know where I'm going or coming. You know what I'm saying tonight. You get so much going on in your mind, in your life, decisions to be made, and it's almost like we live and we're living life, and we'd be lived a week not even realizing all that went on during that week because we've got so many things going on in our life. I'm not condemning us. I'm one of you. I'm the same way. I deal with this life. Man, life can become a taskmaster that keeps us running so hard and so fast and so busy. But for just a few days, God said, hey, let's deal with it.
Let's stand. Let's work on it. You might would say tonight, Brother Smith, I love reading my Bible. But this, it's been stealing my Bible time. I love praying in the altar. But this keeps meeting me when I pray in the altar. But you know what? About the time that Naaman was about to throw in the towel, all of a sudden we look around, and that muddy water is running out of his eyes. Can't you see him dip down in that water and stand up and look around, wiping muddy water out of his eyes? And what one moment felt like a foolish man, till he looked down and recognized, my God, I'm a brand new man. Sometimes it's hard for our kind, my kind, in front of everybody else to kneel down and everybody looking at me, bury my face in this pew, get up with the print of this bench in my forehead, and my eyes red because I've been crying like a baby, until I get to riding down the road going home and I recognize he helped me. He done it. Then all of a sudden, I can't wait to come get me another carpet burn again. You know why? Because he'll do it again and again and again and again. So I'd like to ask you tonight, you ready to dip? You ready to pray? You ready to do what he's asking you to do? How bad do you want to, in your spiritual eyes, slide up your shirt sleeve and say, it's gone. It's gone. How bad do you want to lay down on your pillow at night and jump when you're about drifted off to sleep and said, I can't remember the last time I didn't cry myself to sleep? How bad? Let's pray. Come on and meet us somewhere and find your place tonight. Let's just dig in these altars tonight or wherever you feel to pray. Let's get a hold of him. God, I'm ready to dip. I'm ready. I'm ready. It's time. If it wasn't for that, preacher, let's deal with that tonight. Let's bury it in this altar tonight. Let's bury it in a place of prayer tonight. He's fixing to make a difference right here.